Arsenal at Criterion running last year. Order of St. George this morning before that race has actually rated his equal on 1.24. My hunch again with him would be that he would perhaps be more of an Arc de Triomphe horse. Again, with the Arc being run in October, that would rule him out from getting into one of those two quarantines. So whether we see him, I'm not entirely sure, but obviously the fact that he's owned by owned in part by Lloyd Williams might have some sort of say in the decision on where they go. But
yeah.
He came down. He's a really high-quality horse. He's the highest-rated horse in Ireland.
Yeah, he's been really strong in his races, and I know Lloyd's been on the record saying it really comes down to what weight the horse is allocated when they come out, but all the reports seem to be pretty good going into the weekend. Have you heard much from the Aidan O'Brien stable about the Iris and Ledger trial?
Well, it's all Order of St. George. I mean, he's going to probably go off odds on, and it would be a shock if he didn't win, frankly. It would be a shock if he didn't win very well. Like I say, you know, we saw what Postpone did to a top quality Group 1 field today, and he's rated his equal. So anything less than a resounding win for Order of St. George would be a massive surprise.
I understand. Again, with Aidan O'Brien, any word on Highland Real?
Well, I mean, he's running more countries than I think most of us have heard of, hasn't he? And yeah. It'd be absolutely no surprise to see him come back again. He is arguably in the form of his life at the moment. He won the King George at Ascot. And ran a very good second to Postponed earlier today. I suppose every option is open to him. He's obviously a horse that travels very well. He's got a great constitution. He ran so well down there in the Cox Plate last year. So Aidan has said that there's a possibility he could come back, but they're also looking at America for the Breeders' Cup. So I'd imagine it'll be a fairly late decision. He'll be going somewhere.
Yeah.
It's just whether it's Australia or America, we don't know yet.
Another horse that we saw in the Melbourne Spring is Trip to Paris, and it's running later this week at the York Carnival.
That's right, in the Lonsdale Cup. He obviously did really well when he came down last year, but then he went and ran in Japan and picked up an injury there, and it's taken him a very long time to get over that. He actually headed back to Australia to recover from his injury, and he actually only arrived back in the UK, I think, in around April time. So he had his first start back in Newbury last month and ran really well over 10 furlongs and 2,000, I think that's 2,000 metres in your money.
Yep.
He ran really well over a trip that's obviously too short for, and he came third in a nice race. He runs on Friday. Ed Dunlop has said that he could go. Ed Dunlop has said he's got entries in the Caulfield Cup, the Melbourne Cup. They will look at them. Whether they want to travel again with a horse who's had such serious injury would be open to some speculation, but it's not been ruled out. So a good run on Friday, and who knows?
Yeah, exactly. No, a lot of interest in whether he comes down under again. Trip to Paris, we'll certainly report on that over the weekend. There's other horses that are running, particularly in the Ebor, Kamani, who is Australian-owned. So there's a lot of interest. It's a key race, and it has been since the internationals come to the Melbourne Spring and Melbourne Cup. So we'll be certainly watching the Ebor on the weekend.
Stunned if there isn't a runner from the Ebor, at least one and possibly a handful that don't make their way down. And I mean, I'll run you through them. The really hot favourite at this point is a horse called Ivan Grozny, who is trained by Willie Mullins, who of course set Max Dynamite down last year and came so close. He fits a similar profile to Max Dynamite in that he was purchased from France from off the flat. He's run over hurdles and done very well over hurdles, and now he's going staying races on the flat. He is a very, very short price favourite for the weekend already. And so if he was to do something special, who knows? Godolphin have a horse called Antiquarium in there, who you may have noticed, you may have seen James McDonald when he was up here, rode to win the Northumberland Plate, a good staying race in Newcastle. He's Godolphin's major candidate for a trip down there. And we all know how much Sheikh Mohammed would love to win the Melbourne Cup. So if he was to go well, I think he'd be a prime candidate to come down. There's another horse for a trainer called Ray Beckett called Kinemar. He's owned by a group called The Ashes, who are some Australian owners.
Yep.
He won at Royal Ascot, and a good race from him. I spoke to somebody from the Ray Beckett yard today, and their plan is still very much Australia at this stage, and a good run at the weekend would probably tip that off nicely. And Barsanti is in the same ownership as Postponed today for Roger Variant, is another horse to keep an eye on, so there's four or five that I'd say would be live candidates for a trip down.
Yeah, we'll have to watch certainly a number of these races over the next few days. And I spoke via text to Willie Mullins overnight about Max Dynamite, and I said, is there any hope off his recent runs? And he said he is not coming into form, so it's not looking good at the moment. And we'll just have to monitor Willie Mullins' stable, because we know he went mighty close last year in a Melbourne Cup.
Well, I could give you one from Willie, if that was, sorry to jump in, but obviously Max Dynamite has lost his form completely, unfortunately. But the one I would say the most likely is a horse called Wicklow Brave, who again, in the same mould as Max Dynamite, is a dual-purpose horse in that he runs over the jumps and flat. He spoke to the Racing Post a few weeks ago, and he said, you've got to have Melbourne on your mind. If I get a horse qualified to run, that's where I'm going. Wicklow Brave runs in the Lonsdale, the same race as on Friday.
Yep. No, there's a lot of interest. We'll watch that for sure, the Lonsdale Cup. Hey, thanks for staying up and joining us, Mark. We look forward to seeing a lot of these horses, a lot of intrigue. Order of St. George runs on Sunday night our time. Trip to Paris, Wicklow Brave running on late Friday night into the early hours of Saturday. It's happening each night this week at York. Thanks for staying up, Mark. We'll chat to you again.
Absolutely, no problem at all, Andrew. Looking forward to talking to you again.
Good on you, Mark. Mark Scully joining us there from the Racing Post. Counting down to Saturday. You'll have much more tomorrow morning here on the program. It's a soft five at Randwick. Race one, number two, Jungle Edge, and race two, number nine, Celestial Sky are the two earlies. And take note, down in Melbourne at Moonee Valley on Saturday, the feature is the Carline Stakes. One of the favourites, Wild Rain, has the early signs of a virus, according to the Mark Cavanagh stable, and she's been scratched. Race eight, number eight, Wild Rain, and Sunday Escape number 12 is also out of the car line there. They've got a soft five down in Melbourne. Tomorrow morning, plenty on Saturday racing, and I can also promise you a very special guest. You'll want to hear the interview tomorrow morning on Racing HQ. After the break, it's Tab Talk.
Sky Sports Radio continues to lead the way as the stars of the track return for the spring. Saturday mornings from 11, get the early mail as Darren Flindell previews all the major Sydney racing, plus Peter Ellis on Adelaide. It pays to listen to your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Yerribee Stud presents world champion Warrawee Needy. Equal fastest horse in the history of harness racing. 146.4. Fastest two-year-old in Ontario Sire Stakes history. Winner of more than 29 races and $1.25 million. He was one of the fastest and most exciting pacers of the last decade. Warrawee Needy. Book now. Yerribee.com.au.
All the King's Horses, the Bart Cummings story, is on DVD.
Everything was done the right way. It was done his way.
He had absolute faith in what he did.
He took horses to another level and made them champions.
Demanded excellence at every stage of the training process.
1-4 in the Melbourne Cup. That's as good as Bradman's batting average.
We commemorate the legacy of the Cup's King on the extended, unseen DVD version with bonus features.
Winning life well lived on a betting ticket.
Available from August 18.
For the best price on a new Mazda, go and see the man. Penrith Mazda Centre is family owned and operated with the best selection and the best prices on all new Mazdas, including the VT50. The VT50 range gives you more grunt, more torque and more comfort. Come and see the VT50 specialist at the Mazda Youth Centre Penrith with over 40 VT50s on display. Penrith Mazda Centre, Mulgoa Road, Penrith, MD18808.
At Bing Lee, buy any Beko dishwasher and receive a bonus year's supply of Fairy dishwashing tablets. A fantastic bonus from Beko and Bing Lee. Conditions apply. See binglee.com.au or in-store for details.
There are gates open, they're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain.
The very latest in racing and sport from around the country. Welcome to Tab Talk.
Good morning, everyone. Sean Cosgrove with you and at tab.com.au. Jared Middleton. Morning, Jared. How are you going?
Yeah, really well, Cozzy. How are you?
Fighting fit. We're going to launch into everything. We've got Claire Nutman joining us a little later on to look at Hawkesbury. Big day there today. the Riley Mile on, and we'll have a chat with a few people, a few of the players involved in that a little later on as well, which is with 100 grand. Big day. Now, Ben Dorries joining us, and from the Courier Mail. I always look forward to reading Ben there in the Courier Mail. He would be Olympic down almost, I reckon. Morning, Ben.
Yeah, no gold medals for me, lads. I've got the shocking case of the man flu at the moment.
Oh.
My voice sounds a bit funny. That's why it is. I'm speaking to you from my deathbed, basically. That's how bad I'm going.
Mate, there's some bugs doing the round that are giving people absolute distemper, and they're shocking. So our sympathies are with you.
Yeah, no good at all, boys. No good at all. But I've got a big heart, boys, and I'm here for you. And, yeah, I guess we're talking about the Olympics off the bat, guys. And, look, I've got to say, I mean, I think at the latest count, we've got 7 gold medals.
Yeah.
In amongst a haul of about 24, I think it's up to overall medals. And what this is going to fall short of what we collected in London. We've got 35 medals in London, and that was considered a very disastrous Games for us, lads. So, look, there's going to be some interesting stories come out of this, especially, I think, in terms of the funding that has sort of been siphoned into some of these sports. I think swimming was the most heavily funded sport in the 4 years before Rio, with about $40 million. And I think about $340 million overall has been injected into sort of Olympic sports in Australia. So it does beg the question, doesn't it, whether we're getting value for money with our medal performances.
It's a fair cost per gold medal, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, don't get me wrong, there's been some terrific performances, in amongst the Australian camp over there, the women's rugby was certainly a highlight, and the Boomers are going particularly well, and there's been some terrific individual medals in the sailing, for instance. But I just think, I say, lad, I'm not one of these people that you see a lot of social media saying, look, you know, give these guys a break. They're just over there doing their best. They've made the final, you know, they might have choked it, you know, or what have you. But, you know, let's sort of go easy on them. I've got to say, I'm not in that school of thought. I mean, if you follow a footy team and your footy team finishes a disappointing sort of 14th or something, I mean, you want answers, don't you? You want to know what's going on. The coach comes under pressure. The players come under pressure. You don't sort of sit back as a supporter of that team and say, well, you know, they did their best, good on them, do you? So, look, I think there's got to be some questions asked and answered as a result of our performances at this Olympics.
See, I'll tell you what, though, Ben, it's been wildly entertaining and just bizarre too, hasn't it? I mean, you only have to look at some of the stories going around, the Ryan Lochte story and him being held at gunpoint. Perhaps that didn't happen. There's
a Robert Allenby's about it.
Exactly.
Robert Allenby looked at the cell next door to him and he said to the woman, what are you in for? She said, I'm a hooker. He said, oh, so am I, but I didn't know you'd get put in jail for it.
Oh, you're not bad, are you?
He was a slice and then he became a hooker. There you go. Oh,
you should hear the ones he tells you off
here. I've been waiting for about 3 days to let that one go.
Yeah, it has been a funny old game. I mean, to me, the highlights, I mean, sure, there's been some Australian highlights, but the highlights, no doubt, Michael Phelps, incredible in the pool, one of the greatest, if not greatest, athletes of all times. And Usain Bolt, I mean, what an absolute superstar. I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't know here, lads, but just the theatre of him as well, you know. Like, I think, you know, the way he carries himself and conducts himself, it's just a must-watch event, that 100 metres, isn't it? I mean, he's just a superstar.
I found it interesting, the attacks on Michelle Jennehy, the hurdler. Now, she's a gorgeous girl, makes a lot of money out of advertising, the whole lot. But as an athlete, you know she's not going to win a gold medal. She'll get there and qualify and so forth. But yet, I think because of the off-track earnings, whatever, people get jealous.
Yeah, there is a bit of that. And I think as well, probably as a nation, we've got to revise our expectations a little bit about athletes. I think some of the medal predictions and some of the medal hype going to these games was probably a bit overblown, wasn't it? I mean, there were some outrageous predictions for how many medals we were going to win, and we were going to dominate the world and all this sort of stuff and run third on the medal tally, which we were never going to do. So I think we've got to tone down our expectations a little bit. But having said that, I mean, with the enormous amounts of money we're pumping into some of these programs, I mean, I think swimming cost $40 million in the 4 years, and we've got 3 gold medals, which really isn't much of a return for investment at all, is it? And I think certainly we've probably got to have a look at some of our athletes, how they perform on the biggest stage. There certainly has been an element of choking, particularly in the pool. I mean, some of the swimmers, Kate Campbell, I don't want to single her out, but I mean, she was, I think, a $1.10 favourite or $1.12 favourite, for her pet event, and never looked like it, did she? So, I mean, certainly, you'd think there's some sort of mental fatigue or something going on there in ahead because clearly she went into the event as the best swimmer in the world. So, look, the post-mortem will be fascinating, I think, in the next month or so, lads.
I found it interesting recently, in the last week or so, and I can't remember where it was, but I heard an interview with a sports psychologist who worked with a lot of Olympians. And they asked him whether he went over. He said, no, my work's done before they go. And I thought, gee, I would have thought you'd want one there because if they go a little bit dusty, you'd want someone to give them a wheel alignment and just get them back on track, you know?
And look, it's been those sort of games, hasn't it? I mean, it's been those sort of grubby old games in a way with all these things going on off, you know, away from the racetrack or the pool and all the things going on in Rio, you know, being the intriguing sort of place it is. And to me, it struck me as the sort of games that if you don't turn up on the day, you know, you're going to get beaten. I mean, almost performances going into these games haven't actually counted for much at all. It's who's dealt with the conditions and the atmosphere and all that sort of stuff over there the best. So, we've seen some sort of unexpected medals and some people sort of, falling by the wayside pretty quickly. So, it's been a fascinating one, guys.
The team to watch from our perspective in the last couple of days of competition, though, is the Boomers, who had a great win over Lithuania last night. And, the talk in the USA is that we're going to be their biggest threat as far as the gold medal is concerned. And wouldn't that be basically the greatest Olympic upset of all time if we beat the Dream Team? But that's one to watch now on an international scale as well as far as our cricketers are concerned, Ben. Now, to put this in perspective, losing 3-0 to Sri Lanka, they had beaten us in one of our previous 26 test clashes, and then we go over there and lose 3-0. I mean, who can hold their heads up high and whose spots are under threat?
Well, look, guys, I think in the wake of this disaster, and let's be frank, it was a complete disaster. I mean, I think Australia has got to completely revamp its selection policies for starters. We've got to look at how we play in the subcontinent. I think, basically we've had three decades of failure, in the subcontinent. I mean, sure, there's been occasional high points where we've won a match or even on one occasion a series, but basically it's just been a continuing disaster. And quite frankly, picking what we think or the selectors think is the best side, Australia's best cricket side, is not working. And what I mean by that is, I'd like to see Australia go to India in 6 months. And we have gone diabolically in Sri Lanka. Now, if there is an Australia A batsman or a good up-and-coming young batsman who the selectors view as a particularly proficient player of spin, I'd like to see him selected for the Tour of India in 6 months' time. Or if there is a spinner for instance, is a lot slower through the air than Nathan Lyon is. I mean, Nathan Lyon, I think, was bowling about 10 kilometres quicker than Rangana Harath, who took all those wickets for Sri Lanka. I mean, I'd like to see that young spinner selected. I just think we've got to just throw existing sort of selection philosophy right out the window and just go on a strictly horses for courses policy. I mean, sure, if perhaps Joe Burns comes into the test side this summer and scores three centuries and is the hero of the Australian summer, but if selectors don't think that he can cut it in subcontinental conditions, then he shouldn't be picked for India next year. That's really the way I'd like to see them go, guys.
You just never feel confident watching our batsmen, though, do you? You just never feel quite at ease.
No, and you know what? I just don't quite know what the answer is, guys. I mean, they've spent a fortune, Cricket Australia, on trying to improve our play against spinner years. I live up here in Brisbane at the Centre of Excellence up here. They've built a spin wicket. They spent a fortune on doing that. The ball really turns. They go over earlier for tours to get used to local conditions. They face more spinners in the nets than they ever have before. So look, I'm not quite sure what it is. One thing I do think that we must master is the art of patience. I mean, you watch the Australian batsmen playing spin over there, and their first form of defence is it always seems to be attack. I mean, whichever Australian batsman you're watching, they're basically trying to hit the spinners out of the attack. And that, quite frankly, is just not working. I mean, it might work for, 10 minutes or 20 minutes or even a session or half a day, but over the course of 5 days, when the pitch is deteriorating, the spinners are coming more into the game, it just doesn't work. I mean, I think we've lost the art of patience. I don't know whether that's true playing too much 2020.
I was just going to ask you.
Absolutely it is.
Yeah. And because these days we've got a number of varieties of the game where you can assess people under all sorts of pressure. But I wonder whether, as you're saying, the 2020 of those, we're just starting to get in and want to belt the cover off everything.
Yeah, but there is that. And that applies to English conditions. I mean, we haven't won an Ashes in England since 2002. And I think we're not patient enough over there, our batsmen as well. We just nibble outside off stump at swinging deliveries. We've got to be more patient as well when we play in England. But just getting back to the selection philosophies for a minute, I mean, look, one of the things that's really befuddled me, I think, with this tour is we picked two reserve quicks. I mean, Jackson Bird and Nathan Coulter-Nile were sitting on the sidelines over there. They were unsighted. They were like the Loch Ness Monster, only servicing for air sort of, you know, once every few days. But what the hell did we have two reserve quicks on this tour for? I mean, you know, Sri Lanka only played one frontline quick. I mean, Australia would have been better off having an extra two spinners in their squad rather than these two other quicks who were never going to play a game. So, look, I think we've got to look at stuff like that with our selection policies as well, lad.
Now, Ben, is James Robertson going to lose the title NRL star and have the one colourful identity?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's already got it. And look, to be honest, guys, what a complete goose. I mean, it perhaps is not the crime of the century in isolation, sort of, you know, being tossed out of a pub and having the ambulance called and whatever. Mm. But, I mean, this was a night, you know, Sunday night before the Broncos were training on, you know, early on Monday morning. I mean, what's he doing out on the source for starters? I mean, is he serious? I mean, this guy's meant to be a professional footballer, isn't he? I mean, and the Broncos, I mean, they're hardly high-flying, are they? I know they've won their last couple, but I mean, they need everything to go right in the lead-up to the finals and the finals themselves to make any sort of impact. And this guy's one player who can actually break a game open for him, and he's on the source on a Sunday night rather than keeping his head down. I just think it's a case of stupidity, lad.
Yeah, crucial game this tonight against the Bulldogs at Suncorp Stadium, 6-4, and, well, the Bulldogs are outsiders now. They've come under a lot of pressure, I guess. People saying they're not a genuine top four side. They're $2.40 outsiders and punters are on them. Their best backed as it stands. Brisbane are $1.57 favourites. Would you want to take the $1.57 about the Bronx in this one?
Not in a million years. I couldn't touch the Broncos at $2, I don't think, in this one. I think that's silly odds. I mean, the Broncos may win. I mean, they'll no doubt get a decent crowd there, but look, I mean, I know they've won a couple in a row, but they're not, you know, they're not inspiring me to sort of jump on board at all. An interesting guy to watch in this game, lads, I think, will be Sam Cassiano for the Bulldogs. There's a story going around in Brisbane this week that the Brisbane Broncos were actually, when he was a young kid, on the verge of signing Sam Cassiano until Canterbury scouts sort of basically got under their yard to sign him on a bargain basement deal. So when you're watching this game tonight, if Sam Cassiano happens to be the difference or makes a big impact, and if you're a Broncos supporter, just think to yourself, we've had that guy.
And of course the Titans, what a win that was last week. Jarrod Hayne kicking the field goal with 10 seconds less there at Campbelltown against the Tigers. So they're short price favourites travelling to Newcastle, $1.24. The Knights, $4.25, 13.5 your line here. I mean, the Titans can't be serious about playing finals footy if they don't win this one.
Yeah, and I think the buzz about the Titans is growing. I think that loss a couple of weeks ago when, you know, in Jarrod Hayne's first game, I think perhaps that could be put down to all the hype and distractions of the week when they did sign Hayne. But I quite frankly, apparently Jarrod Hayne, when he sunk that field goal last week to win the game, said, "This is my house," shouted, "This is my house." And some people say that's arrogant and, you know, a bit silly, but I actually love it. You know, he's showing a bit of ownership, showing he cares, and showing a bit of passion. So, look, he's certainly been a fantastic signing, hasn't he, for the Gold Coast? And don't forget, he's only played two games of rugby league in 2.5 years or something. So, I mean, if the Titans do make the finals, which, you know, they're every chance of sneaking in there, I mean, he's only going to get better and better, Jay Hayne.
Cowboys Warriors, what's the story there, Benny? What do you reckon?
Well, I think the story is from the last couple of weeks that Jonathan Thurston, believe it or not, I never thought I'd say these words, but he's a mere mortal. I can't believe it. I mean, last week was probably one of the most ordinary games I've ever seen him play. So, look, having said that, I mean, he doesn't stay a mere mortal for long, does he, lad? So I'm expecting him to zip back to Superman status this week. I think the Cowboys, I'm not quite sure what's gone on with them. Maybe a little bit of Origin sort of hangover, a bit of fatigue, getting some players back in new positions and what have you. Maybe they just lost a little bit of their drive there for a few weeks. But I think the Cowboys, quite frankly, the Premier's too good a side not to fire at the right time of year, and I'm expecting them to win this one pretty comfortably.
Yeah, they're $1.24 favourites. The Warriors, $4.25, coming off a really crucial loss to South. They were smashed at home last week. The Warriors now in AFL land, the Brizzy Lions finally had a win. And, well, if you want to back them again, you're going to get $14 against Geelong this week at a 59.5 start. They are at home, so maybe that starts the way to go there. But, gee, that'll take some pressure off Justin Lepich.
Yeah, it's funny, though. I mean, they won last week, and they've been even under more sort of pressure and scrutiny in a way this week. I mean, there's been reports that Lee Matthews You know, their former great coach, who's you know, very much a figurehead at the club there now, there's been a report that he's going to leave the Brisbane Lions. There's also been a report that Tom Rockliffe is at odds with club leaders, and you know, Brisbane's got a $13 million debt off the field. There's been stories about that as well, and the crowd attendances, you know, this year plummeting. So even when they win a game, the poor old Lions, they can't take a trick. There's still plenty of negative media about them, but whatever happens in this game, I don't think it changes the punchline to their season, that Justin Lepich is a coach on the way out, guys.
Yeah. Terrific. Benny, hope you're feeling better, mate. We'll get someone to come around, rub your chest with Vicks, put eucalyptus on your hanky like your mum used to do when you were a kid. That'll make you feel better, mate, all right?
Beautiful, guys. Well, I hope you appreciate it. I really did come off my deathbed.
Oh, no, you have.
Mate, we do. Thank
Champions
you.
Don't give in easily, Ben.
Good on you, guys.
See you, mate.
On you, Benny.
Ben Dorries there from the Courier Mail. He's as crook as a dog. It's at 26 past 10 at Sky Sports Radio. Big day of racing today at Hawkesbury. The Riley Miles on there today, Jared, and Claire Nutman joins us now. Morning, Claire. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Now, you've got some nice rides here today. And the first reward for fashion, you're riding for Tim Martin. You won on this two starts ago, and they took it to town. It showed a lot of pace there.
It did. She raced over 1,200 in town. It was obviously a lot stronger class than what she's in today. And she led, and she probably just weakened the last little bit. She's back to 1,000 today. You know, and obviously down in class a lot, and she's only got 52.5 on her back.
That's going to make it a lot easier today, isn't it? And a nice draw.
It is. There's a couple of leaders in it. The other two that they fancy, they've both led and won their maidens. But, I mean, they're stepping up to a class two, and, you know, her run at Goulburn before she went to town was impressive.
Well, reward for fashion opened at $2.80 favourite with tab.com.au. It's been on the drift to $4, though, with money coming for Sir Magic there. Claire, in race three, you've got number seven, Stradazzle. From the inside draw, a $17 chance is second up. It's just had the one win from 21 starts, but that win was over the 1,800 at Hawkesbury.
He is, you know, he's just an out-and-out stayer, and he needs the trip. He's definitely looking for it. He is second up. His first up run wasn't too bad. He missed the start, and he did make up ground at the end. Yeah, he's jumping up in distance, but it's just definitely going to suit him, and he'll just get back and look for him late, hopefully.
All right, now, no pressure here. Now look at the trainer, Richard Nutman, Dungannoon, you're on in race five. And you or Chad, your fiancé, have ridden this a fair bit of the time. What's Richard like to ride for, Claire?
Oh, no, he's very easy. He's very laid back. He doesn't stress too much.
You don't get the evil eye if you get rolled when you come back to scale.
No, definitely not.
All right. Now, what about today?
She's had a lot of chances. I mean, This time in, she's been consistent. She's run a couple of thirds and fourths, and she didn't quite get Chad's weight today, so I'm riding her and claiming two off her. She's got a soft draw, and, you know, I suppose we'll just jump out and ride her where she's comfortable and hope for the best.
Is it just things that happen in the run, or should she have a balaclava on this one?
You know, she's not much good, but, she's only in the provincial and country maiden, and she does need everything to kind of go away.
All right.
I'm hoping for a bit of luck that, you know, if she doesn't win, we're not going to be too disappointed. Not expecting that much from her.
She was ridden a bit closer last time. I know Mitchell Bell was on her last time, Claire. Is that, you think she's better off being ridden a bit closer to the speed there?
Yes and no. I mean, sometimes she's put in a few good runs when you've ridden her quiet, like first up when she couldn't quite keep up with them over the 1,000 metres. She ran home and got third. And then, you know, you ride her a bit closer and sometimes she doesn't even finish off. So, I mean, I think it just depends on her and, you know, how it all pans out. But she's definitely going to need a bit of luck as well in the run.
All right. Well, we'll wait for you to weave your magic on Dungannoon today then. The final event, race eight, major stress you're on. And this is first up. It's had a number of trials. It's a first starter. It's had a stack of them and sort of a couple of little preps getting it ready. It's a four-year-old, so a late starter. And they put a lugging bit on, the tongue control bit on.
Yeah, he's had about six trials, I think, but he hasn't trialled since January this year. So, you know, it's been about 6 months between that, and I think he's been gelded in between, and, you know, hopefully he's improved a bit since his trials. I think he's definitely a horse that's going to look for further later on. So today it'll be nice to see him finish off.
Yeah, they put a bit of gear on us, and the blinkers as well, so obviously a few little things they've got to sort out there, but they've given him plenty of time, four-year-old having his first start now.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he did have a few trials, and I'm not really sure if anything else happened. I know I did see he got gelded, but that's about it from all I can see from looking at it.
All right. Now, what's your pick today, Claire, of yours? You've been having a good run of late. You've been riding some winners.
I think the most one I'm confident with would be Kim Martins in race one. It's she's very honest, and hopefully if she gets the right kind of run in the lead, she'll be hard to beat.
How appropriate reward for fashion, speaking of which, wedding gown chosen yet or not?
Oh, not yet.
No? Looking through the magazines, eh?
Yeah, then I realised how difficult it was going to be to plan a wedding.
Chad looking over your shoulder going, white, my God, look at the cost.
Yeah, he better ride some more winners.
Track the whip and get him out there, that's what you want. Well, look, we wish you all the best today. Good luck, and let's hope there's at least one or two winners there for you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Claire Nutman there. And her four rides today, we wish you all the best of those.
Yeah, 280 out to 420 there, a reward for fashion. I mentioned a good move there for Sir Magic there. And in race, so she had race 7, number 7, Stradazzle, $17. Race 5, number 12, Dungannon, $9. And race 8, number 1, Major Stress there, the first starter, is a 50-1 chance. Just another market I wanted to mention, Cozzy, the Bledisloe Cup this weekend, a big test match, of course. Australia, not a dime for them. 2.75 out to 3.25. The All Blacks, $1.47 into $1.35. 5.5 your line there. Wallabies to plus. So all the early money there for the All Blacks. So rugby, generally not a big punting sport, but when the Wallabies play the All Blacks, punters want to be on. But they're not on the gold jerseys yet, anyway.
You know, one of the things I found disappointing with the Olympics is the lack of crowds. When you look there, and I mean, that to me, that's the part of it we get enthused by, looking at the crowd, enthusiastic, the noise, the whole lot, like, you know, London, places like that. And you look there and see, you could fire a gun through the joint. There's no one there.
Yeah, well, it's just a symptom of what's happening domestically there in Brazil. Yeah. So when they were awarded the Olympics, 7 years ago, their GDP was on the verge of being fifth in the world, and it's now 74th, I think, John Coates remarked. So, yeah. Look, that's obviously, you know, there's all sorts of problems there in Brazil. Just a lot of my friends who've travelled there in recent times talk about how dangerous it is, etc. So you got unemployment rising, crime rising, and therefore, you know, I guess international visitors have probably shied away as a result of that, and at home people can't afford to go. So yeah, you're exactly right. It's been disappointing when you've seen, like, you only compare it to what it was like in Sydney, Cozzy. Remember, everyone wanted to go and everywhere was full. It didn't matter whether there were Aussies involved or not, everyone was there, and it was it doesn't seem to have that vibe from afar. In saying that, I wish I was there, Cozzy.
Yeah, and one of the